on this episode of Edge of the Web.
It's all about testing, but definitely show your product, your brand in the first 10 seconds, because no matter how entertaining your video is going to be or how interesting, people are still going to drop off after that point.
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. You're listening and watching Edge of the Web, winners of Best Podcast from the Content Marketing Institute for 2017. Hear and see more at edgeofthewebradio.com. Now, alongside Tom Broadbeck, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
Well, welcome back to Edge of the Web. We certainly appreciate all of our live watchers as we do our Facebook Live broadcast each and every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're broadcasting from Edge Media Studios, downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. Every week we bring you the latest trends in digital marketing as well as marketing influencers from around the planet. You can check out all of our recent shows at edgeofthewebradio.com. We're powered by Site Strategics, your digital marketing pioneers, specializing in the agile digital marketing strategy and execution. If you want to learn more about Site Strategics and what we can do for you, simply go over to sitestrategics.com. Hey, contact us via the contact form and we can schedule up a quick call, maybe even a free hour conversation to be able to jump in there and see what's happening, what's working for you. So you can also, hey, I haven't used this number before. It's 87, well, not for a very long time, 877-SEO for web or 877-736-4932. You can actually give us a call and schedule up a time where we can talk to you.
And that wasn't a subtle reminder of me forgetting to put the lower third up.
So. No, absolutely not. My name is Aaron Sparks. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics as well as Edge Media Studios. And the reason that we do this show on a regular basis, If you're a newcomer to the show, either on iTunes or all the different podcast aggregators, we're on Player FM, iHeartMedia, Spotify, not Podbean anymore. And if you want to know why, text us. a number of different aggregation platforms. And the reason why we do that regularly is to be able to demystify digital marketing tactics and strategies. There's so much that's out there that's confusing to companies as well as brand new marketers that are coming into the new media space, as well as there's a heck of a lot of trends happening all the time, and even the average and the skilled marketer needs to be able to grab a hold and understand what's happening. So we try to wrangle that down to the ground and kind of unpack it here on the show. Again, my name is Aaron Sparks. In the production booth is Tom Broadbeck, Director of Digital Media. Sir, how are you doing today?
Howdy, howdy. We're good.
Excellent, excellent.
All good over here, except for me for getting to put the lower third up.
Yes, we wouldn't have noticed it had you not bring it up, right?
That's right. I went like this, and you looked over at me, and I was like, wanted to explain it.
I thought something was blown up over there, but that's not the case. I also want to introduce our guest. Our guest is on the show today is Akvila DeFazio. How are we doing, Akvila?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You are more than welcome. And you're coming out of, where are we? We're in California today.
Paso Robles, California. It's on the Central Coast, equidistant between LA and San Francisco.
Very cool. And the weather must be fantastic, right?
It's quite lovely today.
Well, Akvila has come off a speaking gig talking about social media advertising. We're going to get to that interview here in a second. But first and foremost, we want to go through some latest marketing news. Akvila, are you ready to jump in there?
Let's dive right in.
All right. So let's take you through the latest digital marketing news.
I was very excited to start my reportings.
This week's trending topics.
All right, so trending topics here from TechCrunch. Writer John Ressel says Google Chrome now mutes annoying videos that autoplay with sound. Let's just give
I just wanted to give a standing ovation from the production booth that every local news outlet and national news outlet that has these stupid autoplay videos to boost up their advertising will be even less effective now.
Shame on them. Google Chrome. Thank you very much, Google Chrome. We appreciate it greatly. But, however, I'm certain that Akvila is going to say something about this. Those automatic plays do get attention, and from a capture rate, as annoying as they are, I bet they work really well. What do you think?
They certainly do. From a consumer standpoint, this is a nice update, but from an advertiser's, you're going to have to get a little bit more clever, or just add captions.
Well, adding captions absolutely should be something that you're doing regularly, because on top of everything else, when you're running those video ads, especially in Facebook, you can capture that person explicitly with that first caption on that video as well, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I think we have to come to a compromise of annoyance as opposed to a higher click-through rate on videos or higher capture rate. I mean, there's going to be that balance, and boy, I mean, we long ago are the days of the pop-up ads, and you know, annoying videos are hopefully
the most annoying when they autoplay in the sidebar and you don't know where they're at, or it's like below the fold and you're trying to find it to shut it off.
Yep, exactly.
Or which tab it's in.
Yes.
Oh, or on top of that, you thought you closed it, and you go to another site, and yep. Oh, it's playing again.
Yep.
All right, so good article. Go there. Go over to TechCrunch to check it out. Quartz. Any Quito is actually saying something here. Google's new search tool will answer any question by reading thousands of books. Tom, what's this all about?
Sorry. A new service called Talk to Books here, I'll just read from the article, says Google now has a way to convene in the second half. The TED creator Chris Anderson yesterday, mm-hmm. or 2 weeks ago, introduced Talk to Books, a new way to find answers on the internet that should bring pleasure to researchers, bookworms, and anyone seeking to expand their thinking on a range of topics. So you type in a question into Talk to Books, and their tool will scan every sentence in 100,000, I assume more than 100,000, volumes in Google Books, and will generate a list of likely responses that are pertinent with a pertinent passage bolded.
Wow.
So apparently you have to go into this Talk to Books feature to be able to research it.
Right.
But I could see how this could be kind of a play, I guess, against organic search, or at least with the Google Home.
It's almost a captive sandbox for them.
Yeah.
Huh.
So,
Akvila, what do you think about this Talk to Books functionality?
This is fascinating. I think it's a much more human way of AI to respond, but I still think it has a ways to go, just because they're just pulling quotes that are related to the searches for the results. But I think it's a really great step in the next direction of where technology goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here, I got pulled up here. They have an example, first two results for how can I stop thinking and fall asleep. They have two results here, one from thriving at college, another one from self-hypnosis for dummies, with the answer bolded right there in the middle of your screen of how you can stop thinking and fall asleep.
Hmm. I think this is another tool to help AI learn language in a whole other way, as well as the inquiries from the humans.
Yeah, that's why I said I think it's just another way to deepen the resources that the Google Home and Google Assistant have in providing answers to questions. So, I mean, that's mainly what Google Assistant is. People ask it a question, and it's just another opportunity. I see, like I said, they have to go in to Talk to Books, as I understand it, to their website their website to get the answer. But yep. I could see this being rolled out into Google Home very shortly.
Well, you know what? Yeah. You know what I think? Go ahead, Akvila.
Oh, no, please go ahead. I was just agreeing.
Well, you know what I think? I think this is impending doom. Skynet will fully get self-consciousness, because it will read all the troves of man's angst and challenges, and it will learn that we should actually be contained from ourselves.
Terminator is one of the books it'll talk to. Is that a book? I assume there's a book version.
I'm sure there's an entire canon set of Terminator series. Hey, another series change here is from Emmy Gessenhaus over at Marketingland. Pinterest redesigns business profile pages with monthly viewer counts. So the monthly viewer count will show businesses the number of people who have viewed the pins during the last 30 days. That's great analytics to have, right?
Yeah.
The company aims to give brands more control over the content they highlight on that platform. A spokesperson says the newly designed business profile page will actually include more customization options as well as a monthly viewer count. I keep on thinking hit counter from a decade and a half ago. That shows the total number of people who have seen a company's pins during the last 30 days. Are you much inside of Pinterest, Akvila?
Personally, yes. On the client side, we've had one or two clients in the last 6 months that have done Pinterest ads, and they've worked well, but they were in the wedding space, so that's a huge space to be in if you're on Pinterest. So that worked out very well for them. But it's nice seeing a lot of small businesses jumping in there and building up brand pages and trying to get some traffic there.
Absolutely. We don't talk that much about Pinterest that often.
No, I mean, any visual, I'm not sure what, since we're kind of talking video today, and maybe we can dive into, does Pinterest even do video? I don't know. I think there could be, do they? Yeah. So they could be, like she said, it's mostly weddings and food and sort of things, but I could see it expanding more as a visual medium.
Yeah, I'm at a loss. I'm not a Pinterester. And I haven't even been keeping up with all the evolution on that side of the fence. So maybe we can go there. Okay. Well,
there's a lot of great stuff, especially for e-commerce.
E-commerce as well, yeah. And that was the rollout within about 2 years ago or something like that, right?
Correct.
Cool. All right. Well, so I was paying attention to the news back then, at least. All right. Well, you want to know what you want to pay attention to? The Edge of the Web newsletter that comes out each and every week. Simple sign up to the number 228-228. Text to the number 228-228, but not when you're driving. The word Edge Talk, and you can sign up right there. You can go over to edgeofthewebradio.com and be able to sign up right there at the header of the page. We do nothing except give you some great content on a regular basis. We cover everything that we talked about on the show previous, as well as the news items, some insights from our previous interview, as well as who we're going to be talking to in the future show. So if you want to get prepped and kind of plan your day accordingly, if you're interested in that particular guest, sign up for the newsletter. We do nothing but send you digital nuggets of gold. So easy enough to drop in there and sign up. And we certainly want you to, as fans of the show, to be able to participate and give us some feedback on what we're doing. If you want to give us any ideas of who we should be talking to, let us know. We get a lot of communication regularly on individuals that we should, but we want to hear from you. So with all that, check out all the featured trending topics over at edgeofthewebradio.com. So let's deep dive with this week's featured guest.
Now it's time for Edge of the Web featured interview with Akvila DeVazio, president of Akvertise Incorporated.
All right, so you got the deep voice guy, and it's not Akvertising, it's Akvertising, but hey.
Sounds like a movie trailer. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, we try to set you up there. So to our audience who don't know you, Akvila DeFazio is the president of Akvertise Inc., where they work on all levels of clients by providing social media advertising strategy, execution, and consulting. They specialize in Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Twitter ads, and Pinterest ads, with a focus of e-commerce, event marketing, mobile apps, and lead generation. All the socials right there. So, Akvila, it sounds great. We really want to unpack a lot of different ideas inside of social media ads. We certainly want our live stream audience to jump in and participate. So if they're watching the stream, be sure to ask some of the questions, and we'll be able to funnel that right into the show. But first and foremost, Akvila, tell us your backstory and how you came to run your own company.
Ooh, it's quite the story. I went to school for medicine, going into physical therapy, and after graduating, I enjoyed the work, but it wasn't quite what I was meant to do. So anytime I got a chance to do any marketing for the clinics I worked at, I ended up just taking that on and realized that maybe this is my calling. Mm-hmm. So after seeking out an internship, I used to live in Seattle for a number of years and worked at a company called Evo. They do snowboard and ski e-commerce. And they had a physical retail store as well. And they were wonderful enough to give me a 3-month internship to get me started in PPC originally. And that's kind of where I got my start. And then after that, I moved in-house to a pet insurance company and built their PPC campaigns up from the ground up. And I think it was like employee 8 or 9 at the time. And they IPO'd a few years ago. So we have some team members that are still friends there. And it's really great to see them grow and to have been a part of that journey. And I feel like I learned a lot there. And then after that, I went to work for Third Door Media for about 4 years on the search marketing expo side of things and got to work with a really great team there. And we were a remote team, so I got the opportunity to learn how to work for myself and on my own schedule and from home. And after a number of years, I realized that, you know, ready for the next big challenge. And a lot of friends persuaded me to kind of listen to that little nudge I've had in the back of my head to start my own business. And I decided just to take the leap. And here we are 4 years later and going strong.
Excellent. So you made it past that 3 year mark.
Yes.
And that's always that dreaded space of startup companies. So you've been strong in the space, and you're certainly getting more and more recognition for your focused efforts towards social media ads explicitly, right?
Correct. Yeah. Excellent. I was doing paid search for the last 11 years, but last year I realized that why don't I start focusing on things that I'm more passionate about, which is the more social side of advertising.
Sure.
I still offer PPC, but I made that switch last year in terms of our services that we're going to specialize in. It's been really great since then.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we're going to unpack a lot of questions around social media ads, and we're going to tee you up for some good conversation. I do want to make sure that we honor our title sponsor, Site Strategics. Site Strategics is proud to be the title sponsor of Edge of the Web, and wanted to share with us listeners of the show a special offer. We provide digital marketing strategies to our clients regularly, and we are asked on occasion about the return on investment of digital marketing. So, I mean, that's truly what you should be focused on anyway with any marketing firm, right? So would you like to discover that your marketing ROI? Why not have a second opinion to check out how your investment is paying off for you? So we're actually offering a 30% discount off of our digital marketing ROI report. You can learn your digital strengths, your weaknesses, and threats as we put together a picture of your assets, your digital assets out there. So an SEO audit, social media review, paid marketing review, conversion analysis, competitor analysis, and gap analysis as well. So go over to the site, edgeofthewebradio.com/ROI today. Jump right in there and go ahead and learn about your digital marketing ROI today. All we're going to do is set up a scheduled meeting to be able to talk about what this report entails. And maybe it's a great place to start to see how your digital marketing efforts or your agency that you've hired is doing. So that's edgeofthewebradio.com/ROI. All right. Well, Agvila, thank you so much for allowing us for that gratuitous plug there.
Thanks to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's jump into talking about social media advertising. Now, you've spoken and presented at a lot around video ads for social, and that's how we led the show off. Why are video ads so effective?
Well, they stand out among the stillness of every single news feed. So if you can capture someone's attention with subtle motion, or you're doing a full-blown video or compared to like a cinemagraph where it's just smaller movements, that'll capture anyone's attention as they're scrolling through, because there's so many distractions that if you can catch somebody with a little bit of movement, you'll have their attention.
So what you're saying is that we all have cat brains. and all you're doing is pointing a laser pointer, right?
Pretty much.
So, I mean, does a video ad perform better than certain social media channel than others?
It depends. It depends on the quality of your video and your story that you're trying to showcase to your whatever part of the funnel that your users are in, whether there's just a brand awareness campaign and you're just trying to showcase your product. If you're a little bit further down with the remarketing campaigns, if you're showcasing something to entice them to come back with a special offer or maybe a different benefit that you can portray through video, maybe an unboxing of a product. Mm-hmm. There are many ways to do it. So it's dependent on a number of variables, but certain things that might be better on Facebook, such as longer form video, might not perform as well on Instagram, plus they have a shorter limit.
Right. So speaking of Facebook, now this is a basic question. There's a lot behind it. What makes a good video ad on Facebook?
That's a fully loaded question right there.
I know.
Let's see. Well, having the right audience that you're targeting to, you have to storyboard with your whole team just to make sure that you're able to get everything within the specs to effectively showcase to your audience.
Absolutely.
The content, the way that you're filming it as well. If there's too much distraction in the background, people might not be able to focus on it. So there's a lot of elements that go into it in terms of just what the product is, what the service is, and make it distraction free and keep the focus there, and then use your ad copy to complement your video creatives.
It's got to be simplistic, and we have all seen video ads that try to insist upon itself too much, and it's just a cacophony of sound and imagery, and it creates dissonance. Is the atmosphere? Let me ask you this: from a Facebook environment, the overall arching user engagement of Facebook is their kind of comfort zone. It's their family, their friends. They're not on a search intent or a business intent. They're not looking for a problem to be solved, right? So the video itself and advertising certainly works in there, has to have a different tone inside of Facebook as opposed to other platforms, just because of the atmosphere, so to speak, of Facebook. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You definitely need to get people to either entertain them or to find them to show them something that's useful or interesting or helpful for their lives, whether it's at home or work. So it doesn't matter if you're B2B, B2C type of company. Mm-hmm. Definitely test out video because everyone's on Facebook and it's a good place to catch them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, quality obviously does matter on a Facebook ad. Is it also important to really put something as a hook in that first 7 seconds of a video? Do you have that algorithm or that measurement?
Absolutely. So if you can put your best foot forward in the first 10 seconds of the video, you can make your video a little bit longer. There's no cookie cutter formula for it. Test out things that are shorter, maybe 15 to 30 seconds,
right,
maybe up to in a minute or two. Just see what works best for your brand, mm-hmm, and go from there. But it's all about testing, but definitely show your product, your brand in the first 10 seconds, because no matter how entertaining your video is going to be or how interesting, people, yep, are still going to drop off after that point.
There's that attention span, yeah, space. Yeah. And we commonly joke. There's a new media adage that goldfish's attention span is 7 seconds and the human attention span is like 3.
Yeah.
So, I was just going to mention that because I talked about that in my presentation last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. Oh, very cool. Well,
they've got us beat.
I didn't sneak a peek at the presentation. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I mean, that's the point, is that we're inundated with so much new media, and our as a society, as a digital society, we have to narrow our window, our aperture of content acceptance, right? So everybody's kind of in this space where they're not allowing things to gotta grab a hold because everybody's busy, this, that, and the other. So the entire marketing universe has to fit into that small window of attention.
Yep, exactly.
It's very depressing.
Well, there's so many distractions everywhere.
Yep.
But we're also busy, and you'd think with technology that we'd have more time, but it seems to be the adverse effect.
Yep, absolutely. So what kind of advice would you give a smaller company in creating video ads?
Oh, I feel like every time I talk to small business owners and I mention video, there's instant hesitation about that. But there doesn't have to be. You don't need to have high-end equipment. You don't need a whole production team or hire anybody, outsource. All you need to do is just use your phone, show some behind the scenes of your company, your office,
right?
Or just videotape your customers giving a testimonial. Start there. Or just showcase your product or service in use by somebody that might be your audience, so then they can relate to it.
Hmm.
And there's a number of free and freemium apps that you can use on both Apple, iOS, Android, where you can just get some apps to kind of embellish your photo or your images. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
Your videos. So there's a number of them, like Legend. They have really good overlay text that you can animate the text or have static text over, yep, your videos. Another one is Flixel. They have a free option that you can test out, but they're unfortunately only available for Mac right now.
Hmm.
But they make cinemagraphs to where you can make a still image with like subtle movements on it. So there's a lot of cool stuff out there, or even Boomerang or, mm-hmm, Stop Motion Studio or just some other ones.
Yeah, I think there's one that's playing out there, Video Ooze or Video Ease, yeah, or something like that. I mean, they're templated and they're customizable and they're wired to get attention, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of, just like the themes in WordPress, you now have an entire gallery of prepped videos. You got to drop in a few things, drop in a logo. Now, again, quality does matter, and those are shortcuts. But at the, yes, same time, for a small company on a small budget,
it works.
It does work.
Or if you want, get a GoPro for a little bit more, and that'll work just as well.
Yep, absolutely. Well, so what advice would you, well, what are, let me ask you this. What are the pros and cons of boosting a post in Facebook versus creating an ad in Power Editor? How about that?
Ah, great question. So in terms of pros, they're both great. I think boosted posts are fantastic for business owners that want to manage their own Facebook pages and their own advertising. However, the cons of it is that if you don't know about Business Manager and going into Power Editor, then you might be missing out on a number of different ways for targeting inclusions and exclusions, which boosted posts just kind of give you a very minimal, kind of to the point, here's how much you want to spend, how long you want to run it, and who do you want to show it to. But if you take that after and go to the campaign and the Power Editor level, then you can do a lot more there and get reporting to see what's working and use that for your future boosts. So I usually recommend that everybody, for ease, you can just do it through Boosted Post, but always set up your campaigns in Power Editor since there's a lot more features in there.
Absolutely. All right. This question's always been asked of video editing and video content. The length of the video.
Ah.
I think that's the
open to debate.
Yeah, it surely is. So give us some of the debate perspectives.
Going back to the 10-second attention span thing and less than that, try short videos and see how they work for you. But if you have a wonderful story to tell or you're doing a demo of some sort, test longer ads. Facebook allows you to have up to 240 minutes. However, no one's realistically going to sit on one Facebook ad for 4 hours to watch a video. So you can certainly test out longer form video there. But for Instagram, 60 seconds is their max. Yep. So that's all you've got to work with. Unless you're doing stories and you have 15 seconds.
So inside of Instagram, that's interesting with the ceiling of 60 seconds inside of Instagram. What plays better? What attracts better? Do people, because of the knowledge that there's a 60-second ceiling, do people consume that longer, or do they still break off at a high cliff at a 10-second mark?
They still break off, but I think that since Instagram, everything's moves a little bit quicker there. It's just all visual content. So most people tend to watch a little bit longer of that in terms of the ratio compared to Facebook. But it just depends. Test out what works best for you. Cool. But Facebook, you're welcome to test out something a little bit longer if you have the right story to showcase.
So does on Instagram, does the square video versus a normal widescreen video, does that have an impact? Or do you need to get more vertical to take up more of the screen? I guess is my question.
We've been seeing a lot more success with vertical videos lately, just because they do take up more real estate on the screen.
Vertical videos really having success now. You realize there's vertical video syndrome out there. It's truly a disease. If you haven't looked it up on YouTube, you must. I'm a huge advocate of turn your phone that way. But I mean, when it comes down to advertising and production, are you telling me that the vertical? Oh, this kills me. the vertical videos are actually.
I'm a horizontal person too.
Oh wow! All right, so because you have more screen size, you got more ownership of the aperture, right?
Yeah, and they're fully focused on just you on that moment.
Wow. I don't know if I like that. Well, nobody asked me. What type of plan should you have before you shoot a video for a video ad? Do you have any type of quick tips or templates, template references that you have to put together a good video ad?
No templates, but I just tell our clients that just let's storyboard together first so we know that how long the video is, what we have to work with, what we can showcase and where. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes there have been some clients that sent us really great video content and we unfortunately can't use it because it doesn't show the product and maybe 45 seconds in, or the story is kind of lost in translation. So definitely work with your whole team, your consultants, your marketing, your advertising design team, and figure out a plan there and how you can accomplish your goals for advertising, what your KPIs are. And how to create a video to get people to convert on whatever that may be through your video. So show your product, show your service. If you can, show people that are happy using it and maybe do a demonstration of it so then people that are watching it can put themselves in their shoes and see like, oh, well, that's what I can expect if I purchase this product or service.
Got it. Very good. All right. Here's the big question when it comes down to tracking tracking success metrics on a video. Okay? Because we're talking about attention, we're talking about consumption. How do you judge the success of a video ad? It's more than just views, right?
Absolutely. It also depends on what kind of campaign you're running. So if you're doing a video views campaign, then of course you're going to want to check out your views. But if you're doing a conversion campaign, then it might not be just engagement or views that you're trying to get. Your goal might be conversions. Mm-hmm. So we recently did a case study with one of our clients, and we did a video campaign to go against static images in a conversion campaign. The click-through rate was lower, the engagement rate was lower, but we had a massive lift in conversions, and the cost per lead was much lower. Hmm. So it was worthwhile for us to do a video there and not rely on just engagement, because we figured that we're telling the story very well and the video is converting at high rates. So we'll surpass the engagement and likes, comments, and shares because we're sending people to the site and actually converting as a lead that way. But if you're doing an awareness campaign, certainly keep track of other metrics like likes, comments, shares, and your engagement rate altogether, and your click-through rate. So just see what people are commenting, if they have questions about your video, if there are any concerns, and maybe you can address that in a future video.
Hmm. Excellent, excellent. So suggestions for using live videos, because one space, you know, hey, we're all live right here, but one space is crafting a professional and simple message to be able to hook that user. There's a whole nother space of attracting that live audience. Like, granted, you got to build that awareness of that live broadcast, but should you be doing ads against live video, or should you be taking clips from a show to promote?
Try both. Tim Ferriss, if you're familiar with him,
yep.
He wrote a number of books like 4-Hour Workweek. He saw a really great example of a post that he did that he ended up boosting, and it was in promotion for his new book, and he did a live AMA, Facebook Live, mm-hmm. and I saw that after the live was over, but they kept it running and boosted it as a post to promote his book, and people can still comment and ask him questions, just going to different audiences even after it was over. So it's another great way to repurpose that content, and if you want, splice it up a little bit to do little snippets and then send people to your website to either purchase the book there, maybe see the full-length video so you can get them on your site and provide their email, or make a purchase. So there's a number of ways you can do it, but if you have it already, share it to a different audience that's relevant, and if not, then splice it up and show it where necessary.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, on Instagram, the live videos, they disappear, correct?
They do.
So,
but you can save them to your profile now. There's a few spots there, so you can save that for people to watch. But
so it's not evergreen out there.
People actually do that.
Okay.
What common questions are you getting asked regularly from either clients or other marketers around social media ads, but particularly the social media video ads?
They're always curious about the type of content they should use for video, but I usually just respond, whatever you're going to use a static image for, bring it to life and use a video. Hmm. Make something quick and easy. All you need is your phone at bare minimum. If you have something better than that, like a Red camera that costs as much as a
great. She just went to the full extreme there.
Hey, if you know anybody of those, I'm like, I'd like to be their friend.
I'm saying.
But don't hesitate. It's still a heavily underutilized medium. And I think that regardless of the industry that you're in, you can certainly make video and capture people's attention and accomplish your goals through that.
Excellent, excellent. So I like the concept that you've repeated a couple times. Anything that you're going to do from a still standpoint, bring it to life. Now, just that concept right there, stills have a different connection, much more than a video. And on top of that, still advertising can kind of fall upon itself because it needs to actually affect a couple different things right there, as opposed to a video where obviously you can storyboard this thing out and you can capture the audience. So the hook may be a very, very good deal smaller, simpler on the video side than what a still is attempting to do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It leaves less to the imagination using video. So people can just see it instead of wonder what it's actually like and clicking through and then hoping. Plus, people digest videos a lot more effectively than just text or images. So why not try it out?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Can I ask about the storyboard? Can you kind of explain the process of how you kind of storyboard out a video? Are you getting as granular that you'd see in like an extra on a DVD for a movie? Are you getting that granular in your storyboards? Or is it more of like an outline of what you want to have happen in each block of or each section of the video?
It's more of an outline. So we talk about what the goal is for the campaign. And then we kind of go from there. Who do we want to use in the video in terms of we're going to use people mm-hmm. or maybe just an environment where you'd see the product or the service in use. And then we talk about the different, if we're going to have anybody speaking, we're going to have a script written out essentially. Usually they kind of go off the cuff, but we wanted to have a general idea of what we're going to do and what kind of story we're going to tell. And at the end, we have a call to action. So we kind of piece that all together and just test it out and tweak it as we need to go. And we learn a lot from the videos that we do. There's some smaller clients that we've convinced to do video filing. They're seeing the rewards of it. So it's a step-by-step process, but it's important to work with your team.
So then this
really talk it out beforehand so you're not being inefficient in your process.
Is it just a compiled Google Doc or where
yes.
do you? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's another thing there is that's very similar to a landing page. If you look at from a highly converting landing page, you've got to buyer's journey it all the way through, sectionalize it down to a call to action, right? So, I mean, there are similarities in all forms of advertising, right? You just have to use those archetypes and then make sure you've got, you know, some good quality messaging that's simple to process.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that storyboard point because I've even talked to some clients when I say, hey, we're going to do a storyboard. I'm just literally just doing an outline. Sorry,
right.
I hit another mic there. doing an outline. But they were expecting graphic panels like you would sketches and everything. I was like, if you want some stick figures, maybe. But,
Well, we do that on our whiteboards, but.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, wireframing the video very well could be that next. I mean, that's what they're expecting from a storyboard. And it does help take it far beyond segment understanding. It gets it into the actual the effective graphics that you're trying to create, right? So there's a lot to this. Absolutely. So you're producing videos on a regular basis.
I'm not producing them. We're not a video shop, but we do provide recommendations and we guide our clients through that process.
Mm-hmm.
We are a remote company, but most of our clients in our other cities. But
sure.
anything local around here that would like organic social media clients. Then we go out on site to some wineries and stuff, and this is a really big wine region. So we help them kind of curate videos on their properties that'll be interesting based on what we've seen with past clients.
Let me ask you this, because you're actually consulting to the different video companies that the clients hire, right?
Yes.
They're in control of the purchase towards or whoever they hire as a consultant. There's a lot of video companies that have never done social media advertising videos.
Yep.
So you're constantly in this education space. What kind of insights could you give other social media companies of how to train those videographers? I mean, and there's an entire spectrum of different videographers out there that are wired differently. They have different types of passions, what have you. But is there like a hit list of best standards to give a videographer, because if they just come out of the woodwork, I mean they're gonna hit you with something that's not an advertisement. It's literally a narrative video, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's some that are talented and have a good eye for that type of thing, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of psychology that goes behind advertising. So we'll tell them to get different angles and focus on what we're trying to showcase in the video, whether it's a product or a service. We've had some companies that we worked with before that they had great videographers on staff, mm-hmm. but unfortunately it wasn't up close shots, and we needed some more of those. So just a little guidance on angles. We leave the creative stuff to them because they're the ones that have an eye for it. But in terms of what we don't want them doing, we want them to help us sell it and make it look good and not embellish it in any way, just mm-hmm. so it's still realistic. We don't want to do any false advertising, but we just want them to put themselves in the consumer's shoes, I guess, and kind of view it from their perspective, but make it artistic and professionally done.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me, because as marketers, we are in a space where we're talking to consultants all the time. And you know, there's got to be that translation of not only what we're needing it for, but what's going to be effective. And now you're in their space and, you know, you're talking in their creative element. But hey, I mean, we've got to have the second 7-second hook. We have to have these factors that are going to play well in the advertising space. So, I mean, they're adopting a whole nother set of strategies that a company like yourself provides.
Absolutely.
Got it. Well, there's a lot to advertising in the video space. Now, you're also not just doing video ads, but you're also moving social ads on a regular basis. Want to unpack some of the successes that you've had inside of social media ads collectively?
Sure. So I feel like the last year particular, so we had a dip in business last year, unfortunately, and that's kind of where we decided to re-strategize of what type of services we want to offer. So we were doing both paid search and paid social. Mm-hmm. So I realized that, you know what, we do Facebook and Instagram and Twitter ads and Pinterest very well, but I'd like to do more of it and see if, you know, I was telling everybody else to test. So a friend of mine told me last year to eat my own dog food and take my own advice. So I decided to remove all the paid search stuff from our company site and just dive fully into paid social. And ever since then, just kind of shifting on how we tell people that we do digital advertising. I think that made a lot more sense to small business owners who were finally understanding of what we do when I just said Facebook ads, because they know what that is instead of digital advertising, where it's very broad and there might be a lot of hesitation to ask questions if somebody's unfamiliar. So since we've gotten to that space, I feel like a lot of exciting things have happened on the social front, good and bad, unfortunately, with everything that's been in the news lately. But there's a lot of great ways to get people to see your brands on Facebook, mm-hmm. to get them to your site, to accomplish your business goals, and to be part of that funnel. Mm-hmm. So I think that we've seen a lot of success, especially in e-commerce, where previously most people, you know, they're on social just to socialize and not searching with intent, as you aforementioned. But it's a really great introductory point, and we're able to get people there for higher end clients, and then they'll come back through either email or search or other ways. But for smaller companies, mm-hmm. I think it's an excellent place for them to get exposure and to actually drive sales, especially if they have our lower cost products or services. And right. we do see a lot of sales there for e-commerce clients. And if you're doing an events, fantastic. It's the best bang for the buck to get your event out there and to get people to purchase tickets, or if it's free, to just be aware of it and to come out. And we work with a lot of mobile app companies at Facebook compared to other places mm-hmm. On the web. It's an excellent place to get people to download your app or to just re-engage with it if you have any in-app purchases. So we've seen a lot of success there as well.
Cool. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Cambridge Analytica. You coined it kerfuffle. that's putting it very, very nicely. So because this data is marketable data, right? And we've got some great understanding of demographic information. What are you fearing is going to be happening here? Now, we're all seeing these privacy notices everywhere. Twitter just hit us with one just a couple minutes ago, or at least me. They're all resetting their privacy. Google just reset their privacy, and they're making it much more easy to understand from a legalese standpoint. But from an advertiser, what are you predicting is going to be happening, especially in the Facebook space?
I'm not too concerned about it. I know that's a big thing, but I feel like Facebook will figure it out. They have to for their own success. And to kind of find that balance, which I think is the challenging part that they're in right now, to both make advertisers happy and continue using their platform, but also make their users trust them again and to be more transparent. And I think that it's going to be quite a way, some time until they figure that out. Mm-hmm. But in terms of what's going to happen, there's just been some rumors flying around. But the only thing that I've seen so far is just some of the household income and financial demographics have gone away. Mm-hmm. And while for higher end clients, that's been helpful to kind of add that in as an income targeting layer to decrease any potential people that might not be able to afford their products or services. And we've seen a lot of negative comment backlash from people that were upset by prices for certain clients.
Sure.
So that's helped, but we realized that, you know, we can work without it, and we've been testing, and we're just finding other ways to respond to those types of people that might be upset by higher price points, and we can't exclude them. And Facebook did announce yesterday they've made a lot more other exclusions. So there's ways we can work around. As you know, our industry's anything but stagnant. So
we've
survived worse things, and we'll figure it out. And I think a lot of people are going to stay on Facebook. Yeah, there's been some celebrities that have hopped off and are against everything that's going on right now, but it's not the end.
No, it's not. No, it's more of a counterbalance. It's
yes.
The pendulum swung one way, now swinging back, and there's got to be this. We're going to get Plum here over time, right?
Absolutely.
See, we want to fill our users, our listeners, with confidence.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Hey.
Our jobs depend on it.
That's true. So we're not doing any propaganda at all.
I was trying to find. I saw it was reading my Twitter feed earlier today, and there was an article. I wish I retweeted it because I can't find it now, but it was like a record number of record sales of Facebook ads that were this quarter, even with everything that went on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and their stock has just been skyrocketing since the whole Zuckerberg going to Congress.
Yeah. It was like, what was the movie? Somebody goes to Congress. What was that?
Oh, my God. Mr. Smith goes to Washington?
Mr. Smith. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
No, never mind. Okay. I was chasing a squirrel there.
Is it Mark Zuckerberg, Jimmy Stewart, or where are you going here?
All right, so never mind. Hey,
did you see the bad lip reading Mark Zuckerberg?
No. Oh my gosh, is that out there?
Yeah, that's out there.
Oh my gosh, that'd be great. All right, hey,
that sounds like a gem.
So, what excites you about your industry right now?
Everything. Keeps me on my toes. I prefer working in a space that's not stagnant. So just seeing every day I wake up, there's different news and there's different things to challenge me and my company and my clients, but mm-hmm. there's also creative ways to overcome it. So I think just the ability to test and the freedoms of creativity that reside both in advertising, there's the analytical side and the creative side, which is a nice marriage between those two components. So
that
always excites me.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you mentioned a fun fact in our pre-show survey. We'd certainly like to have you kind of talk about this. It sounds too cool and too good to be true. So lay it on us. What happened?
Well, for your audience, the question was, I believe, what's something awesome that people wouldn't believe about you, but is true?
Yep.
Right? So about a year and a half ago, I entered a contest for a bucket list app called Bucket Dream. And mm-hmm. I'm a huge bucket list person myself. I used to have a blog for it, but I've been slacking on it. So I saw this contest. I just had to fill in my email on their lead gen form on the website to win a trip for 5 days to go to Necker Island in the British Virgin Islands, which is Sir Richard Branson's private island. And I entered, forgot about it. And 4 months later, I found out that I won. And I would be going in 9 months, and my husband got to come with me. So we didn't believe it, and I've been preparing a bunch of questions. I was like, okay, if I'm going to Richard's Island, I am not leaving if I see him without at least saying, hello, my name is Aquila,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be great. And to my surprise, he was there the first night, and he asked me and my husband if we wanted to sit down and have dinner with him and his wife, and I'm still trying to pinch myself because we had
a
really surreal night. He gave some really great business and life advice, and it was just... I hope something we'd never forget. it's kind of crazy.
Pretty cool. 5 days on Branson's Island.
So people do win those contests.
It's not all fiction. Wow. Well, is there anything that we could promote for you today?
If you are listening and you're looking for some help with your Facebook or Instagram ads, I'd be happy to chat. And you can just find me at acritize.com. And thank you very much for having me on today.
Of course. We have it at the top of the screen there. So AKVERTISE.com. We certainly appreciate time today, and we want to make sure all of our listeners and our watchers know where to find you on social. You've got Aquila DeFazio or Acvertise on Twitter, on Facebook, Acvertise, LinkedIn, AK DeFazio, and Instagram, Aquila with an E, by the way, DeFazio. We really appreciate your time today, and keep up the good work. We need specialized marketing firms such as yourself focusing on these type of tactics. And you see more and more of enterprises bringing a lot of specialized consultants in to be able to execute there. Have you seen that recently? Have you been asked to kind of combine efforts with other marketing firms?
Very frequently, actually. Yep. We work with a number of other agencies as an extension of their teams, or if they offer complimentary services like email or SEO. So we do that quite a bit.
Got it. Very good. Very good. Well, we wish you all the best of luck with your organization. It's great to be able to see that you got into a fourth year with your company. Keep going strong. Any final thoughts for the audience of Edge of the Web?
Test, 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 and have fun with your videos.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks for listening to and watching Edge of the Web Radio. Special thank you to our guests here, all our colleagues at Site Strategics, as well as our guest, Akvila DeFazio. Be sure to check out all the must-see videos and much more of the insider information over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Tom, who do we have coming up next week?
We have Bryant Garvin.
Make sure that you subscribe to the newsletter. And on top of that, please review, like, and share our audio as well as our video, because we certainly wouldn't be here and doing what we're doing without you as some fans and advocates of Edge of the Web Radio. So for all of us here at Site Strategics, thanks so much. Keep on watching. Keep on doing the good work. Test, 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 like Avila said. And do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.